Sit down. Get in with the message. Now, it's nice to have the children up here showing off how they've dressed up as adults. Next week, they're going to sing a song from the musical, and I believe for the next 3 weeks, they're going to do something from the musical. Each week, as a teaser or a preview of the musical, so that'll give them some practice, and it'll be fun for us. And that musical is on Saturday, September 7th at 2 o'clock. So we'll have four messages on Moses starting next week, the 3 weeks before, and then the day after for that, as we look at the impact that Moses has made on the world and in our Christian faith. So today we want to consider dressing up like Christ, and so that's why the children were dressed up today to look like adults, and we're actually told to dress up like Christ. There we go. Can you see what their outfits are on the slide? A doctor, yes. On the left is a doctor. It's a little dark, but he has a stethoscope and a smock. And the middle one is the person that says, wait, at the construction site. That happens, on our road, we don't have anybody stop anybody. We just have construction as they're digging up and putting the sewer in, or the storm sewer in on our road. And then the third young person there, firefighter, first responder. We had one today, and he was the silent type. But do you remember playing dress up? And should parents encourage their children to dress up, pretending to be adults? Is that a good thing? And what would be the good things that would come from children pretending to be adults? What would be a good thing? Learn how to behave appropriately. What else? It's fun. It entertains them, right? They dream, hope for something of themselves. Motivate them to learn more. And be observant, too, right? Now, it's good to encourage that. Now, one of the things that a lot of kids want to be, because they have such cool equipment, is a garbage collector. That is a cool machine, isn't it? Picks it up and dumps it. And so, you can be God's garbage collector. That's fine. There's a lot of garbage in the world, and we need to get rid of it. Yeah, it's something that helps them look to the future. It gives them a goal, a hope, a dream to pursue as they look forward to it. And it helps the play itself can build their minds, build their bodies, and give them some determination and help build character as they go forth. And, of course, as the children start out small, I hope to have some small children in adult clothing. We just had we didn't have that, but that's okay. And as you can see, they can start to fill out those clothing, right? And some of them, of course, are way up here. And so as children grow, they can grow into those roles, and they can grow up and mature, and it becomes a way of motivation and preparation and an introduction to participation in adult life. And so first they imitate with play tools and instruments and play cookware, which is good. I said no, only plastic hammers today, if anyone brought a hammer, please. But then they begin, after that, they can imitate by doing real work at a very simple level with that's safe and following their parents. And children, they can have fun learning how to bake cookies, right? Learning how to work in the garden, doing all sorts of things. You want to be careful with power tools, but they can learn, and as they grow, they can increase in their skill and their knowledge and in their strength, and it actually becomes a good preparation. Of course, I didn't know if we'd have any that dressed up like superheroes. So we had one, he gave away his costume. He was wearing a construction worker outfit, but he said, I'm Batman. So here we have the young girl on the left. She's a nurse or a doctor. And the boy on the right, I am not sure what that is. He's very creative. Yeah, he's wearing kitchen implements, yeah. And showing off that he's a hero. So does God encourage us to dress up? He does. He tells us to dress up as Christ. Why does he do that? What benefit is it for us to dress up like a child of God as though we were Christ? And what do we do when we see that we're not like Jesus? What do we see when there's a gap between what we are and what we're supposed to be? And you can see the children on the left, it looks, you know, cute, and then they get a little bit bigger. But if they were 16 and 17, you go, oh, well, that could happen, right? Because as they grow, they get closer and closer to these things become a reality. And so it's pretending something good. Actually, it's the way of life. This is a quote from, I read 35 years ago, and it was written 40 years before that. A mother teaches her baby to talk by talking to him as if he understands long before he does. Anybody know who wrote that? C.S. Lewis. No, it's in Mere Christianity, which was originally a radio talk, right? A series of radio talks, then they put it in a book. And he also said this: we treat our dogs as if they were almost human, and in the end, they become almost human. Anybody animal lover like that? Is that right? Okay. And that dog looks like he can keep a secret too, you know? Of course, she probably doesn't understand his language, so he may have went and spread it all over the neighborhood. We're not sure. Now, this is out of the Gospel of John. This is one of the best presentations of Jesus, of the four Gospels. And I love the Gospel of John, but it's done so very well. It was done back in 2003. I jokingly call it the Lost Jesus, because the main actor played on a series of TV called Lost. But he does a great job. Everything, they just do a great job. And in this scene, Nathanael is meeting Jesus for the first time. In the first two sentences out of Jesus' mouth, Nathanael says, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He said, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And he was right. The strange thing is that Jesus tells all of us to say that. Because when we pray, what does he tell us to pray? He says, we are to say, our Father. Notice that's plural, right? I can say my Father, you can say my Father, but we're to say our Father because really our faith is a communal faith. And he describes us as the body of Christ, different members. Have you ever seen a body that's just an eyeball or a foot or a leg? No, it's many members, but we are children of God. And so God wants us to dress up as Christ. He wants us to consider ourselves as children of God. And just like children, does he want us to stay babies? No, he wants us to grow up. And one of the ways that we grow up is we pretend, just like children. We play act. We act the part, because that's part of the process that God built into humans growing up. And so who is pretending that we are Christ? He wants us to pretend. And that is in the sense of pretending you're a grown-up. You're not a grown-up, but you want to be a grown-up. And so you aspire to be a grown-up. You try to be a grown-up. You act as though you're growing up. Because in that trying and in that acting, what's happening? You're growing up, right? And so that's, so God wants us to see it that way, even though it's not that way. But we're not the first ones to see what's not there. God is the first one. God sees us in Christ, and he sees Christ in us. It's God who's pretending, because he is imagining and fashioning us into the image of Christ. In Romans chapter 4, Paul talks about the faith of Abraham, the man of faith, the one through whom the covenant blessing comes down to all of us. And he said, Abraham, he believed in God, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. He gives life to the dead. In that case, it was the deadness of Abraham and Sarah's bodies. They were beyond having children, and God rejuvenated them somehow so that they could have children. But also later, he realized when he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, this is the one through whom the promise is given. Apparently, God wants me to kill him, and he's going to raise him from the dead, but instead God stopped him. But he gives life to the dead, and he calls things that are not as though they were. How could God do that? Because God knows what he has in mind, and he's working towards that goal. And so part of the goal is we are children of God, and we play as though we are adults when we're not. We play as though we were more mature in Christ when we're not. That's what he wants us to do. He tells us to dress up as Christ, Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word put on is the word to put on clothing. And so put on, put off, these are words for putting on clothing, putting off clothing, putting on armor, putting off armor, getting dressed or getting undressed. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. So get dressed with Christ, but don't dress up the flesh. Don't get ready to indulge the flesh. Put that off. We'll read some verses a little bit later on that from the same passage, verses 12 and 13. So he tells us, call God your Father, because you are. And in that prayer, we pray for our resources and our relationships. We pray. First of all, it's saying how worthy God is, and then the second part is how needy we are. We need God. We can't do this on our own. We were never meant to do it on our own. So think of yourself as God's child. Think of yourself as Jesus Christ, because that's the image that we're to grow up into. He's the idol. I think I told you this before. I was assistant pastor at a church. A new pastor came in, and they had a teenage son, and he played basketball. And when he was playing basketball, he was pretty good. He was playing basketball. He'd stick his tongue way off to the side. Ah, ah. And I thought, what is going on with this kid? Maybe he has some kind of, you know, problem with his motor skills or something. And then someone said, no. Don't you know who that is? Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan did that. Whenever he played, his tongue stuck out. So this kid, he's trying to play like Michael Jordan, so he thinks the key is in sticking the tongue off to either side. So they want to imitate their heroes. And so that's what we're supposed to do. We want to imitate our heroes. This is what you're going to grow up in. This is God's design. You're going to grow up and be like Christ. You're going to be perfect even as he is perfect. That's God's goal, and that's where he's taking us. But as we, so this gives us hope. This gives us a goal, just like the little children. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a farmer. I'm going to be a garbage collector. It's a cool job. But then we see the gap. We see what we're not. We see the difference between us and where we're supposed to be. And so that can be discouraging. And God doesn't want us discouraged, but he does want us to realize this. And so we ask for God's help, and he gives it to us. So when you realize there's a gap, that you're not like Jesus, you're not like an adult, a grown-up child, you're still selfish. You still don't love others the way you should. What should we do when we realize that? What should we do when we realize that we're not motivated to do these things? We're supposed to act as though we were. Have you noticed in life when you don't feel like doing something, but you know you're supposed to do something? And just say, I wish I wasn't so lazy. I wish I wasn't so selfish. I shouldn't be like this. But I need to get up. And so you don't feel like it, but you get up and you start doing it. And then how do you feel after a little while? You feel like doing it, right? You feel like sharing. You feel like helping people. You feel like working. And that's part of growing up. You don't. It's not there. It's not your instant thought to be, oh, I'm going to be unselfish and love this person even though they're unlovable. I'm going to get up and work even though I'm tired and help out this person. We don't feel that way right away because we're not like Jesus yet. But we realize we should. And so now we say, I want to be like Jesus. I'm going to stick my tongue off to the side. I'm going to get up and paint in the basement or the fellowship hall. One fellow said it this way, you don't feel your way into behaving. You don't wait till you feel like it to do the right thing. You behave your way into feeling. You start doing the right thing. You start copying your idol, and then you begin to feel like it. And then you gain experience, and then the next time, you'll be even more ready to do it. So we have, with hope, we have a gap. We ask for God's forgiveness and help, and he said he'll help us. And then we act as though we were Christ. Christ is in us, and we're in Christ. It's his breath. It's his spirit in our lungs, and so we praise him. It's his power, and so we act upon that. And so we need to think of ourselves as God's child. We're going to grow up in Christ. We're going to grow up and be adult children and mature. And so believe on that, act on that, and feel. Last week we said grow up and grow deep. And we said one of the ways to grow deep is there'll be things that you have to take out. And you put things on and you put things off. Paul says this in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. The word put off, apotithemi, is to put off, and it means to put off clothing and lay it aside, or as King James says, cast it away. And duo means to put it on. And this is not one or the other. This is both. Can you imagine a homeless man who's really dirty and he smells bad, and so he puts a clean shirt on top of his two dirty shirts? Is it going to help? Not really. What does he need to do? He needs to take off the old and dirty, take a shower, take off the dirt, and put on the clean. That's what we have to do. It has to be both and. We have to put off and put on. So we don't make provision for the flesh. We put away those things. In Ephesians, Paul says, put away falsehood and speak truth to your neighbor. Stop stealing and work with your hands and provide for those who have need. Don't let any corrupt words come out of your mouth, but only grace that builds people up. Putting off one, putting on the other. What if you find out your first, you stub your toe and your first reaction is a bad word? Lord, that's wrong. You want me to grow up and be more like Christ. And so you put that off and you put on the right speech, because that's where God is taking us, and this is the process that he does it. Now the two verses before, verses 12 and 13 of Romans 13. Let's read this together. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And let us behave properly as in the day, and not in carousing and drunkenness not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. The day is almost over. The night is almost over. The day is near. Let us lay aside those things that were in the past and grow up more and more and more in Christ. Keep putting that off. Keep putting Christ on. And it turns out that the armor of light and putting on the armor of light and putting on Christ are the same thing. We're putting on Christ himself as his life is lived through us, because he's living through us like what? Or he's living through us like we're the branches on a vine. And he said this is the same way he lived. As he was on earth, started off as a fetus in his mother's belly, and then he was a baby, and then he was an infant, and then a small child. He grew and grew, and as he was growing, he was learning obedience. His body and mind were developing to the point where he could understand with his human mind who he was in his spirit, the eternal Son of God. But he says this about himself in John 5. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Anybody here ever do something you saw your father doing? Or your mother? You learn from your parents, right? And children often want to help you. That's a good thing. So what he sees his father doing, he wants to do it, and he joins in doing it. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And that's the way God treated Jesus on earth, and that's the way God wants to treat us. The Son sees what his Father does. Can you see these pictures? I didn't realize the little boy has coffee. It's probably hot chocolate, right? Yeah. And the guy on the bottom left's painting a board, maybe staining it. I like the shaving one. Yeah, got to be careful with that. Maybe they took the blades out. I don't know. But what the thing is, it's natural for children to imitate their parents. And the imitation is play, but then it leads into reality. And God says, that's what we're to do. We're to put on Christ. And even though there's a gap between where we are and where we should be, act as the thing you want to be. Acknowledge it, that there's a gap, and say, God, I'm not there yet, but help me. Live in me. Live through me. Here's another verse that talks about children imitate. It says, let's read these two verses together. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Some of us memorize it in another version, so it comes out a little differently. But notice that. Children imitate. You're children of God. If you put your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. Now imitate your Father. Well, it's hard to see the Father. Well, then imitate Jesus, because Jesus did that. He gave us the example. He lived a life of love. We sang, "You are life, you are love." I don't remember a lot of the lyrics, but I know those were there. God is love. And that's what he wants to produce in us, his own nature. And so, we said this last week, natural growth, we want the children to grow up and become where they can live on their own, where they can do their own work and live in their own house and have their own family. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what they're supposed to do. And unless there's some kind of a sickness or injury, this is normal. But for spiritual growth, we never become independent. The goal of spiritual growth and maturity is more and more dependency. And if Jesus said, I can do nothing, how much can we do on our own? If he couldn't do anything, how much can we do? We can't do anything. And so growing up in Christ is a recognition that when I'm growing to be more like Christ, that's God working in me to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It's recognizing that apart from him, we can do nothing. He's doing it through us. That's the recognition. I am the vine. You are the branches. Let's say this together. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide, remain, stay. It's the same word for live. Like, where do you live? Why, we live over there. We live on Wilson. Where do you live? Stay with Jesus. Live with Jesus. Don't leave him. And he won't leave you. And you and when you're residing in with Jesus and Jesus is at home with you, you will bear much fruit. But without him, if you try to do it on your own, you can't do anything. We don't want to pretend to be God's child. You have to truly be his child. That's why we said, everybody's breathing God's air. They all have God's breath. Their breath comes from God because they're breathing God's air. But not everyone has God's spirit. To have God's spirit, we have to be born again. We have to have Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so if everybody who's received Christ, they are God's child, maybe an infant. Remember in the Corinthians, they were past time of infancy, but they're still acting like infants. And big babies are not as beautiful as little babies. And he said, grow up, right? So, but we're God's child. And how do we grow up to become spiritual children of God? We grow up by pretending. That is, we play and we say, this is what I want to be. I want to be a doctor when I grow up. I want to be a veterinarian or a computer programmer or whatever. And you say, that's what I want to be. An engineer. I see a few engineers looking at me. Yes. You want to be an engineer. Or a homemaker. Or a mother. Or a princess. No. I think you have to be born into that. Now, some actually marry into that, don't they? But you say, that's what I want to be. I'm not there. But I'm going to act as though I were. Because by doing that and acting as though I were, with God helping me, that's the process by where we grow. I'm not loving, but I should love. God, help me to do the right thing and love this person. You understand? Yeah, it's a good thing. So that's what God is calling us to do, to dress up as Christ. And in dressing up as Christ, we actually grow and become more and more like him. Will that ever be done in this life? No, it won't. But we can make a difference, and we can grow and grow closer to him as we sense him inside of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the promises we have in Christ, that we become your children and we can actually grow up and see ourselves change. And it's you working in us, making us realize that we need to change, and making us realize that we're being selfish, making us realize that we're not considering other people, making us realize that we're being fearful or we're having doubts or whatever it is, that there's some gap between where we are and where you want us to be, and that even making us aware of that gap is you working in us to help us to grow. And we give that over to you. We trust you in that. We repent of those things. We put off this and we put on that so that we can become more like Christ in that instant and the different moments of each day and day after day, and so we can see ourselves and see one another growing in Christ. And help us to encourage one another in this body to do that very thing, to share testimony with one another of how you are encouraging us and challenging us and helping us to grow up and become the people that you want. Help us to grow as a body. You said, that we will together grow up and grow into the image of Christ, this one new man, and we're the body of Christ. So help us to do that together, supporting one another. Thank you for this time. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for the children. Help them as in their musical and all the ones helping them, help them. And we thank you, Lord, that we have something to sing about. We have a relationship with you. We have life in you. And you're a wonderful Father. Help us to be loving children who love one another and love you and grow up to be what you want us in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand.